Hello, listeners. Welcome to Business IQ Radio, coming to you on 105.1 WBNH out of Manchester, New Hampshire. I'm Don Byrne, one of the hosts of this show that deals with a variety of different business issues drawn from in and around not only our community here in Bedford, but the greater Manchester area and actually across the state. And I'm joined, as usual, by my friend and co-host, Andrea O'Brien of the Small Business Development Center here in Manchester. Hello, Andrea.
Hello, Donald. It is a pleasure always to sit across the table from you.
Well, thank you very much. We'll see how the end of the day goes if you feel the same when finish the show. That's right. So listeners, if this is your first introduction to our show, Business IQ Radio, we broadcast our show comes out on Saturdays and Sundays here from WBNH. But you can always find previous versions of the show, previous episodes we've put on by going to WBNH1051 at podbean.com. So the number is the frequency of the show, 105.1, just dropping the dot, so 1051. So once again, WBNH1051 at podbean.com. If you go to that location, you have to look through chronologically. You have to go by date and search. But we've made an effort to try to name the different episodes. You should be able to find the one that you're interested in, and we'll put that out there, and you can download or you can link to it or whatever. As I've said to people, just imagine if there are some people that you want to give a gift to. It could make a very interesting gift to put together a CD of all of these shows.
I don't know what it would say about your gift-giving skills.
It's exactly right. I think that would be the last gift I get back from anybody. Right. So we would love to hear from you. By the way, you can also contact us through Facebook. And on Facebook, just search for WBNH Bedford Radio, WBNH Bedford Radio on Facebook. We would love to get some comments, suggestions, recommendations, feedback on businesses, topics, potential guests that you think might be interesting. Would love to hear from each and every one of you.
And you know, if you think you would make a great guest for the show, do send us a line, and Don and I will talk about that with you. If you think you've got something business-oriented that our listening audience really needs to hear about, not specifically with a business, but a topic or a trend that will make other businesses stronger in the state, we would entertain that.
Right. By the way, as we're talking about if they have an interest in business, can we give the SBDC a little bit of a plug? Can you take a moment and just explain who SBDC is for some of the new listeners may not know exactly what your organization is and what you do and how much it costs to make use of your service. It's free, folks. So,
well, it's no charge, but someone's paying.
That's true.
And it's a taxpayer.
As taxpayers, we're all paying.
You're right. So we are an outreach service, and we are grant funded through the Small Business Administration, and then part of our funding comes through the Department of Resources and Economic Development, otherwise known as DRED. And so although it does cost money for businesses to access our services, our business advising services, there is no charge. So we are hosted by the Paul College at UNH, and we have several offices across the state, and our main deliverable is to work with startups, high growth companies, individual businesses looking for funding, financing, and overall, we just try to make them more robust so that the New Hampshire economy becomes more robust. And we have our advisors. Many of us have our specialty. Like last week, we talked to Nancy, and she had a small farm and food.
Yeah, that was a great
specialty
show.
Food.
That was really a very interesting show. And in addition to this, you folks have a lot of very interesting resources on your website.
We have a wonderful website full of free online anytime, training videos on any number of topics. And we also have a resource center that has not videos, but interesting articles and templates and things that I know would be useful to almost any business. But, you know, just getting back to some of our advisors, like Warren Daniel is on the Seacoast, and he's going to be on our show in a few weeks. His specialty is restaurant management. So if our listeners have an interest in that, you'll be wanting to tune in.
If you watch that TV show where they find these bad restaurants and turn them around, this is somebody who actually does it for and helps out and has real experience.
Right. Doesn't tweak the recipes.
No, he doesn't. Right.
Although he was a restaurant owner himself.
Well, if you look at the business plan or the business model as
food cost.
Yeah, he tweaks that. Mm-hmm. He tweaks that recipe. I think
he certainly does. And my specialty is in business sustainability. So that looks at environmental footprint, social.
Isn't something taking place now in September or along that line?
Yeah. Well, you know, there is. So the Carsey School of Public Policy has a very strong interest in social venture. And this week, the week of September 26th, I think that's the Monday, it's a social, they're celebrating social ventures and social venture innovation at the Center for Social Innovation and Enterprise. So everyone should go to the carsey.unh.edu to read all about the events that are happening this week at UNH. Social venture is so interesting because it's not only about the bottom line. It's about the power of, the mission of the business and the good, the social good that they also do.
Didn't we have a winner of one of the contests, the awards from ValChoice on the show a few months ago?
So that's a Bedford-based business, and right. ValChoice, it was Dan Carr is the CEO, and that business model really is founded on the fact that they help the consumer choose a better insurance company. And I think we all know or have had experiences where we get frustrated in when we have to deal with insurance companies. Sometimes it can be a frustrating experience. So that was the winner last year. And the past winners are, you can find the past winners on here.
Right. So as we mentioned last week on the show, October is a big month for other activities. Now that we're into the fall season, summer is over, people are back to work. I would mention one more time an upcoming event on October 5th that I believe is free to attend up at Dyn, the large technology company in downtown Manchester. It's being held October 5th. It's sponsored by the New Hampshire High Tech Council. If you go to the New Hampshire High Tech Council website, just to put that term into a search engine, it'll take you right to their website, and it's called Tech Out, and it is a business plan competition with, I believe, $100,000?
Yes.
Available, right?
I believe it is.
For first and second place, and I think that actually the audience gets to vote on the third place winner. So if you enjoy these shows on TV like Shark Tank and some of these others, you can come to a real live business plan competition and have a real impact in terms of who's going to win and who's going to wind up with some cash in their hand. So that's coming. I think there are a couple of other activities. You were telling me something about, we talked last week about at the LaBelle Winery, something is coming up.
Yes, so right. Sustainability Slam. Michelle Veazey is the director of New Hampshire Businesses for Social Responsibility, and they put this event on. It is a ton of fun. Everyone's got to go. And the wine is lovely also. So that focuses on it's called Just One Thing, and businesses that enter the competition are asked to give 90 seconds of just one thing they've done to make their business more sustainable. And then there's voting by the audience, and it is a fast-paced night. It's a really fun time.
I know that our guest today will tell us about a number of programs. I'm not going to mention them that Alpha Loft is producing. And if you were a listener a few weeks ago when we had
Non-Wheeler.
I'm sorry, Jake. I always get your name wrong. Jake Nonwheeler on, talking about one of the new crowdfunding platforms, Kiva. That was a very interesting topic, and we got some great feedback from listeners on that, asking to hear more about other crowdfunding programs. So we'll bring that up in our discussion with today's guest, Mark Kaplan, to get his take on it. But I think that might be worth a separate whole discussion just to show on crowdfunding and the new lower end of this, because the angel and VC market is well known, but it's really it's in the stratosphere. You've got to be only a very small number of people would really qualify for that.
Well, you know, a future show, we don't have it scheduled yet, but I know we're working on getting one of the state's prominent very knowledgeable about the angel and VC world.
Oh, very good.
So I won't drop his name until he's scheduled, but that is a topic I think that everyone would be very interested in.
But we do have a couple of other people that we do have scheduled coming up. One of your colleagues from the Seacoast to talk about the restaurant business that we've been mentioning, yes. Right?
We have an Eversource.
Right. Very good.
Gentleman coming in to talk about how to approach energy efficiency from a small business standpoint and what Eversource does to support that.
Yeah, and maybe at that time we can disclose a special project that you've been working on around what's going on in different communities. So maybe we'll be in a position to talk about that when that individual shows up. And the last one that we want to mention, because it is free for people if they're registered to attend, are your ongoing series of OSHA roundtable conferences, right?
Well, it's a general industry. So if you're an industry professional, if you are in HR, engineering,
safety,
right, process engineering, feel free to go to our website and sign up for the free roundtable. It's all an effort to keep employees safe and to make New Hampshire build a strong foundation of safety in the workplace. So that's
right. Right. So once again, you're listening to WBNH 105.1. This is Business IQ Radio, and you can like us on Facebook at go to Facebook and do Bedford Radio, and you can like our station there and talk about our show. And certainly, if you would like to learn a little bit about some of these other episodes that we've discussed, the one in which we talked about the crowdfunding program, just so many of them that we've done, they're actually been very interesting. You can find them, but you have to scroll through, but you find them chronologically listed on WBNH 1051 but WBNH 1051 dot podbean, BEAN, so podbean.com. And you can actually download and listen to those episodes. I see that we have our guest is here. So why don't we bring him in and just say this is Business IQ Radio on 105.1.
So our guest today is Mark Kaplan. He's the CEO of AlphaLoft. And if you don't know what AlphaLoft is, it is an organization that really works collaboratively to bring a strong New Hampshire startup network to our immediate New Hampshire economy. Mark actually has an MBA from Boston University, but he has three decades of experience in the executive venture capital, financial and investment industry. So we're so thrilled to have Mark with us today. Mark, thank you so much for stopping by the studio today to talk about you and your role as CEO at AlphaLoft in Manchester. We'd like to start, as we often do, by asking our guests a little bit about themselves and how they find that they arrived at the position that they now do.
Well, thank you both for having me today. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. When people ask me about myself, I usually start by saying, I have a checkered past.
Is that because you drove a checkered cab or something?
I could have, I've had a varied career over time. And in fact, as I mentioned to you both earlier, my first foray for 5 years was in news, not radio, but television. But that was many years ago, back in the Anchorman day, if you recall that movie. That's all I'll say about it, except it was very much like that.
In what part of the country was that?
I was in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, if, very interesting.
If we YouTube you, because everything's on YouTube. No?
40 years ago.
Okay.
So, as I said earlier, when I started out, we were using film, not videotape. So my work with entrepreneurs goes back well over 20 years and includes my own career. Most apropos to what I do with AlphaLoft, working with entrepreneurs and startup companies, is about 13 years that I spent with a small regional venture capital firm operating out of Portland, Maine, and actually making some investments here in New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, and obviously Maine, and working with those companies to help them grow. Prior to that, I have a background in the financial world, in managing money in the public markets, and as an executive in high-growth companies. So that's what brought me to today. I've been here in New Hampshire for 3.5, maybe closer to 4 years, running what was a predecessor to AlphaLoft since early 2013.
So you should tell us a little bit about AlphaLoft for our listeners and also tell us where it is.
AlphaLoft is everywhere. No, we have locations where co-working takes place, where people work on their startups on a daily basis in Manchester, in Portsmouth, and a shared space with UNH in Durham. We are a nonprofit organization that is really focused on economic development with a mission of helping startup founders who are focused on building scalable, innovation-based companies here in New Hampshire that will create a vibrant startup economy, create jobs for people that are high quality. And we also are partnered with the University of New Hampshire to help them commercialize intellectual property and research coming out of different parts of UNH. UNH is a major institution with over $110 million in research going through the organization every year. And it has been the case for 5+ years that they have been working on building more commercialization efforts and tech transfer efforts. And to the extent that some of that might be oriented towards new companies and startup companies rather than licensing, AlphaLoft would be there to get involved and help get those things off the ground.
Yeah, we had somebody in from Hannah Grimes Center recently, and they're another one. I guess there are several different business incubators across the state.
Yes, there are a number of business incubators. Hannah Grimes, we, and three other incubators that are nonprofits are all members of the New Hampshire Business Incubator Network. In that way, we're trying to work with one another, try to maintain some standards of quality in terms of what we do, trying to help entrepreneurs and trying to leverage the capabilities of one another to unify the efforts that we're doing rather than act as silos out there. So this organization of incubators meets about once every quarter to discuss what we're working on and figuring out what we can do better here in New Hampshire.
And then the local economy determines the nature of the company. So I know when we were speaking to the Hannah Grimes people, they're looking at things like microbreweries and a lot of a real revitalization of the farming business here in New Hampshire.
Right. Well, I'm pretty familiar with those types of activities. I spent a long time in the Portland, Maine area before moving to New Hampshire, involved in entrepreneurial activities, and it often cuts across the board in terms of what type of industry you're involved with. At AlphaLoft, our focus really is on scalable companies. So the focus is companies that we expect can grow to substantial size. They don't have to be technology companies. We do use the word innovation rather than technology or other things like that, because there are a lot of things you can do that are innovative in what might otherwise be a small business. Starbucks is a coffee shop, but it's not the corner coffee shop. They have a business model that was scalable. They had some ideas for a vision of what that could become. And we look at that the same way. So, for example, we'll talk, I'm sure, a little bit about our programs, but we worked closely with a UNH alum this past year who's doing some innovation in the coffee business. He's building a cold brew nitrogen infused coffee business that's doing extremely well in New England already. And that's innovation, but not technology.
So you talk about the need for companies that are scalable. Can you define that a little more?
Well, in terms of, you know, what we're not identifying it in terms of how many jobs we would expect the company to have. But the concept is that if we can help some of these startups get off the ground, they will grow to the, you know, hundreds of employee types of organizations. Could be 50, but that's still a substantial company. Again, as opposed to an independent business person who's starting, you know, a smaller type of operation.
What about inventors? You know, they really embrace a lot of new technology or new patented technology, and yet they may not want to scale a business. They may want to just license it.
Right. One of the things we talk about in some of our programs, in fact, we started one of our programs last night that's a program called Startup Fundamentals. It's basically a startup 101 for founders. And one of the things we talked about last night was, what is the difference between an inventor and an entrepreneur? And the fact is that there are some inventors who are entrepreneurs, but many of them are not. And so then it's a question of, as an inventor, are you going to see your product commercialized? A lot of inventors really just like tinkering. They have dreams of commercialization, but they may never get there. And it is possible for inventors to license products. It's also possible for inventors to find a co-founder who has the entrepreneurial skills and the business capabilities to help grow a business from scratch. What road they go down is partly a function of, you know, what they're willing to do to make something happen, and who they can meet that might become a co-founder, things like that. I think that there are so many patents that get issued that never see the light of day in terms of a commercial product. And many people feel that if they're inventors and they patent something, that it necessarily has a commercial market out there. And the reality is it doesn't necessarily, and even if it does, there's an awful lot that goes into getting it from the first prototype to a finished product that somebody's actually going to buy. And you don't really have a business until somebody turns over some money for something.
You know, I think a lot of inventors or initial entrepreneurs think that things are going to happen in a month or two or three, and I try to prepare them, at least so when we're advising, that they're on a journey, the path is long. And
absolutely. In fact, one of the things that I often talk about is the role that the media plays in making people think that this is everyone's an overnight success. And the reality is that the companies and the people we hear about in the media for all their success and their status and all of that, those are the outliers. And those probably didn't happen overnight either. Those took many years too. But they're put across in a way that makes them seem they happened really fast. And the reality is that they, as I said, they're the outliers. And the norm is that there's a ton of very successful entrepreneurs out there, very successful companies that nobody's ever heard of and nobody will. And yet they're still substantial businesses. They get sold. People make a lot of money. All of that stuff happens. Jobs are created and they don't get the media attention. So I think the media skews our reality where startups are concerned, as do, you know, other, it's not just news. It could be, you know, shows like Silicon Valley on HBO and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the numbers in a while, but I remember that there are something like 12 times as many mergers and acquisitions as there are IPOs. And that really, from the standpoint of the entrepreneur, in a lot of ways, it's best to become part of a larger organization. In fact, that's in your later stages who you probably want as a corporate partner to make an investment.
Yeah, that can certainly be the case. All of those things take a long time. You know, locally here, just to put a local spin on it, many people are familiar with Dyne. It's a It is a high-growth company located here in Manchester, 400-plus employees globally, $100 million in revenue this year probably. And probably most people think it came onto the scene just a few years ago. But the reality is it was started, you know, well over 10 years ago. I think it's closer to 15 now, in a college dorm room. And it was quite small for half of its life so far. And people forget about that element of it, that there were, you know, a handful of people at the beginning for the first 5 years. And, you know, then they added one or two more. And it was really only more recently that they started to really hit an inflection point, find a business model that really scaled and have become what they are today.
So the Elf Loft, I view as being a very integral part of one of the tools that entrepreneurs in this area can use. And so could you tell us a little bit about the strengths of affiliating with the Elf Loft, maybe some of the programs, or even what I really like that you do are the networking events.
Sure. Well, we put Alpha Loft together actually from a few different organizations, from Portsmouth to Durham to Manchester, about 2.5 years ago. And the objective was to be able to really have a platform that itself could leverage the resources we have here in New Hampshire. One of those primary resources is the network of entrepreneurs who are experienced, who've been there and done that, and are willing to help other entrepreneurs build their first or second companies. And so one of the key things that we believe we bring to the table is a strong network. That's number one. Number two is really education. We run workshops on a regular basis. We run education programs that extend over a number of weeks and in one case a few months on a regular basis. And then we run the many one-off events where presentations are made or there are conversations where people can learn from those entrepreneurs who've done it before. And just to wave our flag for a minute, this month, we're starting what we're calling Startup Tuesdays. Virtually every one of our events on almost every Tuesday from now for the next 12 months, there will be at least one event occurring in at least one of our locations every Tuesday. Those events span things such as Startup Mornings, which is basically coffee and a constructive conversation. That'll be fairly casual. We'll have an expert in a particular area, might be marketing, branding, could be something around finance or search engines, all kinds of things. And that'll be a casual one-on-one conversation led by one of the Alpha Loft staff with that expert. Obviously, time for Q&A from those who are attending, coffee and a bagel, that type of thing, 7:30 to 9 a.m. We have an event called Launch. Our Launch series has been going on a number of years. Used to be at noon. We've moved it to 5:30 in the evening. Provides an opportunity for a little bit of networking before there's a presentation from an expert. This is more of your presentation style event. With a slide deck and a lot to learn and plenty of time for Q&A. Then we've got the Founder Series, which we're bringing back. And a Founder Series is an opportunity for people to learn lessons from the startup trenches. We bring in three founders of companies. We do a moderated discussion, kind of a panel discussion with those three founders. There's plenty of time for networking and plenty of time for Q&A. And a lot of times, I was talking to a founder yesterday, and she was saying that you kind of bring your bag of troubles, that every founder's had a lot of trouble getting going, and that if you bring it and you hand it off to the new founders, then they can learn from your troubles you had rather than going through it themselves. And then finally, we have a pure networking event called Hoopla. Again, evening event. No real agenda. We may mix that up a little bit in a certain way this year, but it's primarily a chance for people to mingle, to get involved in the startup ecosystem here in New Hampshire.
So you're listening to Business IQ Radio on WBNH 105.1, and our guest today is Mark Kaplan, CEO of AlphaLoft. And boy, you're doing a lot of interesting things here, Mark.
Well, that's why I do what I do. The fun part is working with entrepreneurs, and this gives me an opportunity to do that. I think most of our members, most of the entrepreneurs we work with, find that they get something out of almost everything that we put out there for them.
Yeah. So I'd like to follow up on the question, actually, that Andrew was asking. There's a more complicated ecosystem to support startup companies. You've got banks, you've got angel investors, you've got crowdfunding. Can you help us understand a little bit of where do you see incubators falling into play? And oh, by the way, would you give a little bit of information if people wanted to follow up and find you online? How would they best contact the AlphaLoft?
The best way to get in touch with AlphaLoft, follow us, get to know us is through our website, alphaloft.org. Also, in the very lower right-hand corner of our homepage, it is a place to sign up on our email list. We won't bombard anyone, but all of our events, we put out an events email at the beginning of the month, and we put out a content email in the middle of the month.
And the events are open to anybody, not just members?
We to date, have kept our doors open for everybody at every event, and we've kept all of our events no charge, with the exception of a fundraising event we do once a year.
Sure.
So one of the ways that I look at the ecosystem and AlphaLoft's role and other incubators' role is as a connector. You know, we have a lot of expertise among our small staff, but we also can take advantage of the expertise that's out there through the network that we've built and through the network that others have helped us build. And so we're connected pretty well with angel groups. We're connected with the SBDC. We're connected with SCORE. And we try to do what we can to make sure that people find the right path for what they're trying to build. AlphaLoft isn't an organization for everybody who wants to start a business, just the same way every other organization isn't the same. And I think that one of the things that I've seen a lot of here is that people are very good about trying to get people, founders, to the right people that can help them, which is the most critical thing. I always look at it like our job at AlphaLoft, number one on the list is entrepreneurs. You know, if we serve entrepreneurs well, the rest kind of will take care of itself. I'm going to take a second here also just to say that I mentioned our programs are free, all of that stuff. We do need revenue to survive. It would be poor of me not to mention that I mentioned our relationship with the University of New Hampshire, which is a significant partner of ours. And we also have nearly 30 other sponsors and partners who support us financially throughout the year. We also have people who are using our co-working spaces in Manchester, Portsmouth, and Durham who pay a modest fee on a membership basis to use any of those locations on a monthly basis. We also provide the community the opportunity to support us through community support, through letting us tap their credit card basically once a month.
Sure, sure. And what is your annual fundraiser? Let's give it a little plug while we're...
We run an annual event. We changed the name this past year, but it coincides with the end of our accelerator program, which is a whole nother thing. But an accelerator program typically ends with a demo day. So we have our demo day and our startup shindig usually at the end of May. And it's a pretty big event. People can see some interesting companies present what they're doing. We always have a very interesting keynote speaker as well.
Was that previously called Party at Arms?
Previously Party at Arms. Yeah. We since we moved it, we had to change the name.
So let me turn and ask you a little question about the, at any one point in time, how many sort of companies are you incubating? And I'd be very interested if you see any common success characteristics among the companies that wind up starting up and succeeding.
Great questions. First, I'd say that we have, you know, because we're not operating a traditional incubator, if you will, We, for example, in our Startup Fundamentals program that started last night, we probably have 8 companies in that program. We had 6 companies in our 3-month accelerator program this past winter, spring. We have 20 startups working out of our 3 spaces right now, in addition to other co-working members who aren't doing startups. And we meet with and advise not just all of those people, but anybody almost who reaches out to us and wants to have a conversation. And that's where, if we're not the right fit, you know, we'll guide them elsewhere as well. So so we touch a lot of people every year, whether they're directly startups or mentors and advisors who are going to help startups, or people who are just coming to, you know, 15, 18 people came to our launch series the other night in Portsmouth about the basics of company ownership and cap tables and dilution and things like that.
So we've had a recent presentation by one of the people from Hannah Grimes on the Kiva funding platform. And I wonder, what is your impression of some of these new crowdfunding programs that are out there that certainly look like they're augmenting at the very low end the attempt to, even below friends and family money, it seems?
There are a number of different kinds of crowdfunding out there. I think where we're getting to right around now are crowdfunding platforms that are truly small investment crowdfunding platforms versus Kickstarter, which is really more of a pre-purchase kind of crowdfunding. The pre-purchase kind of crowdfunding that takes place can be very beneficial. People are essentially pre-selling their product. They're also creating a market, understanding who their customer is, and those kinds of things. The crowdfunding that we're moving towards with changes in the securities laws at the federal level is that allows pretty much anybody to put a little bit of money into almost anything may spread. I worry a bit about the fact that pretty much anybody can put a little bit of money into just about anything, because starting a business is very difficult and very risky. And, you know, more even professional investors, the bulk of numbers of companies in their portfolio don't necessarily do well. They might have a third of their companies that actually fail, a third of them that kind of survive and they maybe get their money back. And then they're banking on just a few to make the big money. So if you're a small investor, an average person, and you're going to put $1,000 into a company, you're making a bet on one thing, not 10 things or 50 things. So I think that there will be some opportunity. I don't think it's going to turn into a significant source of capital for most startups, though. And capital availability is a critical issue for startup founders, for sure.
I'd like to turn the conversation to an Alpha Loft location in Durham. Now, are you co-located with the Interoperability Lab there?
Well, the Interoperability Lab and UNH Innovation and Alpha Loft share space that UNH has leased in a building.
Can you tell us a little bit about this? Because I've been there, and it is really very high tech and beautiful.
Yeah, the Interoperability Lab is a hidden gem at UNH that many people don't know about. If you have any kind of device, electronic device, mobile phone, modems, all of those things from the world's most well-known companies, they've all been to Durham, New Hampshire, because they're all being tested for interoperability at UNH's Interoperability Lab. It's been in business a long time. It operates kind of as a consortium of companies. So the consortium of companies are what sort of pay the bills, and they operate it in a way that's sort of the neutral arbiter so that companies can know that the equipment they're building will work with the equipment that somebody else is building. So you go in there and they've run miles of cable and all over the place. And if you hooked up two devices in a test case, which is what they do a lot of there. They'll have crowds of people from companies all over the world there, and they're all testing their devices. And every one of the cables that they're hooking into, for example, is measured to be exactly the same length as the other one next to it. So there's no distinguishing between what's going on with various equipment. The interoperability lab at UNH is affiliated with a part of UNH called UNH Innovation. And UNH Innovation is really focused on tech transfer and commercialization at UNH and student entrepreneurship and faculty entrepreneurship at UNH. And AlphaLoft's role with regard to UNH Innovation, which is really our key partner at UNH, is to support those efforts as situations get to the point where you need an outside party involved in the relationship. So if you're a faculty member who came up with some intellectual property and you want to start a company, the university has some rights to that as well. And there comes a time where all of that has to be sorted out and the company becomes its own entity. And that's the point where we're, you know, much more involved.
Is it possible that companies that are involved with you who are looking to partner with the university, like the
yes.
opposite, where they can come
yes.
in and make the university a partner of sorts?
There are, that is a possibility. And there's actually a program at UNH that's a state program whose acronym I'm actually forgetting right now, that is meant to provide funding for partnership type projects between commercial companies and faculty researchers and others at UNH.
Yeah,
and so that's an important yeah. thing. And I think that, I think that what we're trying to help UNH with in many ways, and they're trying to do through UNH Innovation, is develop more relationships with commercial companies in New Hampshire and build those relationships so that the commercial companies and others will be taking better advantage of the capabilities that are available at UNH.
And I would guess that research is primarily in the technology area, feeding technology companies, or I know we have some interesting schools over there, including, as we were talking last week, in the agricultural area. But
it really cuts across the university. I don't know the breakdown, for example, of the $110 million or so in research dollars that go into UNH, but it's not just technology, it's agriculture, it's social sciences, there's marine, there's aerospace. UNH related equipment and developed equipment has been on almost every space flight that's gone out of NASA for 20 years, I think, or something like that. So, helping everybody kind of uncover the gems that are there and that can be leveraged to help build New Hampshire more is one of our roles.
So can you give us an idea of the kinds of companies that are starting up in terms of the areas they're looking at? And for a while, I know that everybody was focused on apps. I'm guessing we've gone beyond that.
Yeah, I think that there are still plenty of people pursuing apps of various kinds. With regard to kind of related to UNH, it still really does cut across different technologies. There's actually a startup, maybe not so much a startup, but an effort put together by one of the social science centers at UNH related to, they actually did build an app related to making universities a safer place for young women, basically, and training that goes into that. And they put together a whole program and an app, and they've now been licensing that out to other universities and such. We're working with one PhD candidate who has some technology that is in storage related to disks, basically the cloud storage type of activity. So it cuts across a lot of areas.
And at AlphaLoft, that's the kinds of companies that are?
Those are particularly UNH types of companies. At AlphaLoft, it really is much broader. We have a company that's involved in software related to oncology treatment plans. We have some apps. We have, I'm trying to think what else off the top of my head. We have a platform that somebody's building related to youth and amateur athletics. So it's really quite diverse.
You're listening to 105.1 WBNH, Bedford Community Radio, and our guest today is Mark Kaplan, CEO of Alpha Loft. Now, Mark, you just reviewed some of the businesses there, but I feel like there are some regulars, and they may, I don't know if they're businesses that are starting, but they just seem to be regulars there. Can you, if you don't want to mention any names, that's fine, but.
Well, I mean, we have a lot of regulars, really, and we don't have just startups, as I said. So in some locations over in Portsmouth, we have quite a number of people who are contract software developers that are remote workers who don't want to work at home, for example. In Manchester, we have Wasabi Ventures, who uses our space a lot of the time. We have, we also have people who are in more the services side of the business. So we have a member, David Wilson, who's a search engine optimization expert, who's there working every day and is a great resource for others.
And everybody I know needs that SEO optimization.
So people don't actually graduate out of the incubator. They're welcome to stay.
Obviously, if a company starts to have too many employees, we're not the place for them. We're not the place for when it comes time to doing for salespeople to be spending all their time on the phone all day, because we're really a co-working space. People work in the open near other people.
And if someone wants to rub elbows with potential angel investors, I feel as though that if they go to Alpha Loft, might they strike up a conversation with people like that?
Sure. At our events in particular, Hoopla or Launch Series, I think Founder Series, there are people around who are angel investors. If you look at your, former entrepreneurs who've had success, who've cashed out of a company and that kind of thing, those people are often looking for angel investments. And generally also, if they're from the area and they support, want to support what's going on in the area, then they like the idea of investing locally and working with local entrepreneurs to build something here.
Well, some of the investors actually back competitions, I think, that you host or you participate in.
Yeah, one of the great things that we do have in New Hampshire is a number of competitions where a number of them are free money. One competition is more of an investment. Actually, I'll mention that applications are open right now for startups that want to apply for two different competitions. One is the Seacoast New Hampshire 2016 Startup Challenge run by the city of Rochester. And that will be an interesting competition where I believe there will be about $20,000 available to a winner. We have worked closely with them to promote that event and to try to help them make that event work. There's another event that people can apply to the community track of, or if you're a student, to the student track. At the Social Venture Innovation Challenge at UNH. These are companies that have some social benefit. They can be for-profit or nonprofit. We actually met and have worked with two companies that won that last year. So the Social Venture Innovation Challenge is quite interesting. There's an event coming up if people want to see what it's like at a pitch competition called Tech Out. That will be happening in early October at Dine, and that's always a fun event to go to. And actually, there's a first, second, and third prize. Third prize is actually selected by the audience that attends the event. So those are great opportunities both for people who are interested in this stuff to go and see and participate and meet people. They're great opportunities for the founders of companies because it's an opportunity to get some capital and usually some in-kind services from service providers as well.
Participating in the competition, if you win, I think I understood that possibly you give up part of the equity in your company, depending on the competition.
Depending on the competition. Really, the Social Venture Innovation Challenge, the Seacoast Startup Challenge, and the Manchester Young Professional Network Startup Challenge, which happens in the springtime, those are all no equity in return, free money, free in-kind services. TechOut has been, this is the fifth year for TechOut, that has been structured as an investment. There are a group of investors behind that, and there's been $100,000 on the table each year. So that group of investors over the last 5 years will have put $500,000 into companies through the TechOut competition.
Yes, we have had a discussion recently with a number of the students, and it's interesting that there's a subculture developing of business contests. Enactus is involved in this, and even at the high school level, we've actually had a winner of a high school program, I think you were telling us about.
BizGen.
BizGen. I mean, it's just wonderful to see this stuff.
It is fantastic.
So I asked you before a little bit, maybe you could go into what are some of the traits you're seeing in successful entrepreneurs?
You did, and I forgot that question. Coachability is important usually in a startup founder, especially if they've never done it before, because there's a lot to learn, and being open to learning, being open to the advice you're being given is important. One thing we tell founders is, you know, seek lots of advice, recognize that it's still your company until you have partners, until you have investors, things like that. And you're going to hear a lot of different things. The decisions are yours to make. Persistence is really important, too. You have to be persistent. You're going to run into tons of challenges. If you're not up for the hurdles and trying to get through them, you probably shouldn't start a company.
I think thick skin goes along with that.
Thick skin, a good ear. So this kind of goes with coachability. But when I say a good ear, in this case, I'm talking about listening to the marketplace. You don't have anything until you have a customer. And if you don't listen to what the customers want and you only give them what you think they want, you may miss the mark. And again, you don't have a successful company.
That's such a common problem with entrepreneurs. And I'm constantly telling my clients, you know, try to look at it as if you're going to buy it or you're the customer.
Got to test things out on prospective customers. Learn from what they have to say, and recognize that, you know, those people shouldn't necessarily be your friends and family, because your friends and family love you. They don't want to tell you the harsh reality that your idea might not be as great as it seems. It is not necessarily just entrepreneurs who are like that, but it's a matter of human behavior. You know, we're all humans. We come up with an idea. We love it. We got to believe it's the best. And so we go forward with that. A lot of people have written long business plans, spent a ton of money on developing software or doing other things, and they never actually went out to see if anybody else thought it was a very good idea.
Nobody thinks their child is ugly, but every now and then it happens. You mentioned in the beginning that the focus for AlphaLoft is on very scalable companies, but there are a number of organizations, and it's perfectly acceptable for people to have develop a lifestyle company. And I'm wondering, as you think about the needs in this area, are there traits, are there skills? I'm wondering if someone wanted to run a small organization, sort of what are the skills that are in demand? You mentioned SEO as one of the areas, but I wonder if there are some others you can think of.
Well, I think, you know, there's all the different aspects of running any business, whether it's finance or marketing or online advertising or blogging or branding. You know, every aspect of the business is one that needs help. I've mentioned that, you know, I've said before that our events and things are open. And so we actually have people who are small business people, lifestyle business people, who come to learn from what we put on. There's nothing that's, you know, that's exclusive to the small business that they can't learn something from, you know, from the scalable business either. And so we think that it's important to sort of maintain that, you know, that kind of openness.
So we have to put you on the spot here. How are you measuring success for Alpha Loft?
It's a great question. I think that we measure it partly in terms of the numbers of startup founders and others that we serve and advise and have at our programs. I think ultimately, I always say that the startup game, it's a long ball game. It's not an overnight thing. And I mentioned Dyn before. You know, it took a long time before they had a few hundred employees in Manchester. You know, 15 years is a while. The ultimate measure of success for an organization like ours will be that we have, you know, been involved in and helped some founders get going who build substantial companies here in New Hampshire. But that'll take a while.
So what would you tell our listening audience about how to move forward if they want to move into Alpha Loft, or can they come for a visit,
tour? Yep, absolutely. Visits are just reach out to us. info@alphaloft.org is our email address for general contact. I think we're very responsive. You will hear back from us for sure. And the more you can tell us in your email about what your needs are, what you're trying to do, or if you're looking for space or whatnot, the more we can respond to what those needs are.
Well, it sounds like they should also spend some time perusing your website.
Absolutely.
As well. It sounds like there's a lot of resources there. And some of the other resources that are on the NHSBC and the SBA website and some of the other ones around the area. I mean, we're really, it's quite a difference. I mean, I started my first company in 1988. The world is a lot different now, I can tell you that.
Right. There's also the Live, we won't get into it, but the Live Free and Start website. Live Free and Start is a state initiative. I'll stop there, but livefreeandstart.org, I think, is the link.
Who would you recommend from that effort to come and be on our program?
I would bring in Director of Entrepreneurship for New Hampshire, Liz Gray.
Very good.
Yeah, we'll have to have Liz on.
Well, hard to believe, but time is slipping by here, so we're coming to the end of the show. Mark, I really want to thank you very much for taking the time to come and give us a very comprehensive, informative discussion about what is, I think, a resource everybody should know about, even if you're not an entrepreneur. Someone in your family might be. You might know somebody. You might want your children to have the opportunity. It's the way that people create wealth. It's the underlying driving engine of our economy. Is starting businesses. So thank you very much for coming today.
Very glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Mark.
So we have a little tradition that we have to follow up on.
Okay.
And I turn the mic now over to Andrea. Well, let me get this big metal pot, though. I'm the one who has to lift it up here and hold it up.
Wow, you're doing amazing.
Oh, please, Andrea, hurry up.
We warned you. Mark, we warned you we were going to have you read the quote for the day, the inspirational quote.
All right, here. Let's see. I feel like, people won't know if I say I feel like I'm on the Johnny Carson show. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford.
Oh.
Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yep.
Attitude is everything.
Well done. Well, again, thank you very much. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to BizIQ Radio. Of course, you can find us on podbean.com, and certainly you can come to the station's Facebook account, so like us there. And please let us know if you have any thoughts or ideas about guests that you think you would find interesting, topics you'd like to see aired, or just generally questions you'd like us to handle. And on that note, I think I'll turn it back over to Andrea to close out the show.
Well, thank you again for listening to Business IQ Radio. And remember, you can spend more than you make, but you can only do it for so long.